Hello, everybody. Ron Partain, Untold History Channel. It is 16 October, Monday, I think. Days run together these days. Monday. And I'm going to be uploading a video with Dr. Kathy Forty and a weather reporter, Raphael O'Neill. I was just made aware of Dr. Kathy Forty's work recently. She's a friend of a mutual friend, and this video really blew my mind. You know, many of you may or may not be aware, but I was a weatherman, or I was a weather observer, more accurately, when I was in the Navy. Long ago. So weather has always been something that has interested me. And I'm a firm believer in weather modification and a lot of things, you know, that surround that, you know, the use of HAARP and all those things. This is the first time that I'd ever heard about Doppler radar being used to steer weather patterns. And she is, this gal, Raphael O'Neill, she was a survivor of Katrina, and she tells her story. So I'm going to let her tell her story, but suffice it to say that she was somebody who used to buy into the notion of climate change, the, you know, the Al Gore uncomfortable truth and all that garbage. But she got into that, delved in, and became awake. So this is a really fascinating interview. It's about an hour and 20 minutes long, and it is absolutely worth your time. I learned so much from this, and I want to share it with you. I actually reached out to Dr. Forty, who I'm trying to connect with a few people in the community, and requested the permission to put this up on my channel, and she was gracious enough to say yes, and she wants to obviously share the link with Raphael O'Neill. And I'm going to try to get a hold of Raphael myself. I'd like to have her on my channel to do my own interview of her. So, but in any event, I just wanted to do this brief introduction and let y'all know that this is going to be really, really powerful. I think this is a fantastic interview and absolutely worth your time. So here you go. Enjoy this. You are definitely, definitely going to get something out of this. So hope you all had a great day. And without further ado, here you go.
Hi, this is Kathy Forty, and I'm here today for the Maui Community Investigations. And we have our guest today is Raphael O'Neill. She's an investigative weather reporter. And we're going to explore and talk about some of the unusual weather patterns that happened in Lahaina, Maui on August 8th, 2023, and see if we can ferret out what all those unusual patterns were, what they might mean, and based on her experience. So good morning, Raphael, in your neck of the woods. And before we start, I think our listeners would probably like to know, as an investigative weather reporter, you know, what are your qualifications for that? I mean, you know, obviously they don't give degrees for that in school, but you've been a long time researcher in this area. So just fill us in so we know.
Yes. Well, first of all, personally, I survived Katrina, you know, and I was on the Al Gore bandwagon before that. And so when that happened, I personally had a stake in understanding, you know, climate change, and especially as the narrative was being unfolded at the time that it was CO2 driven, I was completely on board with that. My first call was as an environmentalist, and as somebody who survived an absolute nightmare that unfolded in the days that followed Katrina, and seeing also the complete lack and lack of care and abandon by the government, who was not only not there, but stopping other people from helping us. And seeing that it's felt more like an agenda, but I would not be awake to that for years later until I heard about chemtrails. I saw the movie, What in the World Are They Spraying? And I looked up that day and I saw planes a blue sky day, planes coming and taking out the blue sky one trail at a time, and it fanned out to make a gray haze that just took out the blue sky. It was a blue sky day until the planes came. And whatever you want to call that, I had just watched the movie, so I was calling them chemtrails, but then I was called crazy for doing that. So it was fascinating how people can tell me that it was an online conspiracy theory when I saw planes take out my sky. So obviously there's a physical phenomena. And the, you know, I even wrote a children's chemtrail book called Funny Clouds, A Chemtrail Tale. And I started a podcast, Beyond the Veil, just exploring the narrative and all of the chemtrail activists that were out there and what they had to say about it. So I became an expert on the narrative, and I was fascinated with the linguistic game that was being played and how you could have people adamantly, like pilots and smart people, people that shouldn't be in on some conspiracy, you know, adamantly deny that chemtrails is a conspiracy theory. And but yet we were seeing something. So where is the line? Where is the obvious? It has to meet somewhere. Science has to meet this theory and reality that we're seeing in our skies somewhere. And I dug into the science as I was, you know, taking on very aggressive debunkers. I found out where they were wrong. And I also found out where the chemtrail community was wrong. And it all led to finding out something very interesting, that it was not CO2 that is actually driving climate. Believe it or not, it's water vapor. Water vapor is by far the most significant driver of climate and climate change. But we get away, how do they get away with this? You know, if you tell a meteorologist that there's chemtrails in the sky, they call you crazy and dismiss you, and the conversation is over. It goes nowhere. But if you tell them that the contrails are forming jet cirrus and are causing albedo modification and weather modification through the process of the contrail formation on the aerosols, because all contrails form, they don't form on pixie dust, then you're in a conversation where they have to take you seriously, because that's science. And so deliberate or accidental, and there's a lot of reasons to believe it would be deliberate. We see trails going off and on, but it doesn't mean they're all deliberate. And what it comes down to, I found out in the science, is ISSRs, which interestingly enough, that term is absent from the NOAA's glossary of meteorological terminologies, from the dictionary of meteorology. And why is that? Because that is what will determine whether a regular contrail, and regular contrails, again, form based off of the jet fuel. We don't know really, really at the end of the day.
Would you tell us what the ISSRs are?
Yes. Well, so it's high supersaturated regions. And if the moisture is over 90%, then the contrails will persist. That is, and, you know, there's, because we were charting with an Appleman chart, we're like, we're seeing contrails on days that shouldn't be, because you better believe that the military, when they fly operations, they're in charge of whether or not there's going to be a contrail behind them or not, because they're not going to allow some contrail to reveal their location and their direction, right? They actually have contrail suppression technology, but that's not being employed. Why? You know, so that's interesting. So water vapor up in the higher atmospheres can cause a contrail to persist. Now, it doesn't mean that you can't prove that they're spraying. You can actually prove, but you can't prove what. So the chemtrail narrative is very safe because you can't prove which chemical comes out of which plane and when. You can't prove if they sprayed it or if it's a contrail. You can be pretty sure when you see them turning it off and on, and you can see one contrail that doesn't persist and one that does. There are clues, right, that let us know that we're being played, that they are writing the plausible deniability in the lines that are laid in the sky. And so it's fascinating how this is employed to further their agenda while skirting the science, you know, legitimately. And so the question becomes, because in interviewing everybody, I interviewed a former Air Force meteorologist, She didn't understand what she was seeing in the sky. Why would there be more water vapor higher up? Because the further up you go, the less air there should be. So there was something that has changed. And in fact, they admit that, you know, things have changed. And we know that the Air Force is using HAARP to manage the ionosphere and has moved on to other ways of managing the ionosphere, because they've said this on record. There's a video I can share with you that shows this. And so it's not up for debate. That has been proven. Now, what are these other ways that they've moved on to? Now, first,
and before we do that, I would just like to say that Maui has a heavy Air Force influence here, especially with our space station on top of Haleakala, the high performance computing centers here. And the Lahaina residents said on the day of the fires, actually it was the day before the fires, I believe they said, there was a huge amount of contrails in the sky, and yeah, more so than they'd ever seen before.
Right.
So yeah, that came from
numerous. And some days the sky is full of planes, and then the next day you can't find a single one. You're like, what happened to all the air traffic? You know, so we have a lot of ways of knowing, but there's still no liability in that narrative, because you got to catch the plane and you got to prove what's coming out of his fart. Excuse my bluntness here. So what was interesting was that, I discovered, here's my favorite quote, and I will say this two times because I want everyone to get it, okay? NASA says in their document, The Importance of Understanding Clouds, that even small changes in the location or abundance of clouds can change the climate, not the weather, which is local, but the climate, which is global, in parentheses here, more than the anticipated changes brought about by other greenhouse gases, because clouds are condensed water vapor, and that's a greenhouse gas, human-produced aerosols, or other factors associated with global change, can change the climate more than the anticipated changes brought about by greenhouse gases, human-produced aerosols, or other factors associated with global change. And yet we're going to ignore contrails because people are calling them chemtrails. That's disingenuous, isn't it? And so I wrote a series of articles for the Liberty Beacon at one point in time called Contrails Matter, Correcting the Chemtrail Narrative. Because whether they're deliberate or accidental, they still have a meteorological effect, and they still trap heat in. And so they still need to be dealt with. And we know that they can suppress contrails, and we know that they get carbon credits if they create them higher up, and they can use biofuels lower down so that supposedly there's less health implications by the airports and all that when they take off. So they can switch fuel supply. That's work that's been covered by other activists like Jim Lee, Climate Viewer, whatever. But they have the technology. So if they're allowing contrails to be a problem, it is something that they have allowed at this point.
So Rafael, based on what you know and what you've seen, and I'm sure you've probably gone back and look at some of the data on the day of August 8th, you know, what happened in Maui, just for your own interest to see, you know, what you could put together based on your knowledge and what was in the skies and what was the weather and so forth like that. What can you zero in a little bit on that?
Okay, yeah, sure. But I haven't gotten to the bottom line of what it is I've discovered, because this is important to get to, and then I will go into the rest right here.
Okay.
So they are ignoring the water vapor narrative. How do they get away with ignoring such monstrous amount of science? Because supposedly we don't affect water vapor. There's no industries that affects water vapor. And so CO2 must be the driver. It is a default narrative, and it is so scientifically hogwash, pseudoscience, not even like for a pre-K level of understanding when you understand the significance of water vapor and what does drive it. Aerosols and microwaves, electromagnetic frequency. And so aerosols we see every day with the planes, right? Deliberate or accidental, we can have that conversation another time. We know they're doing both. Not the both, they're manipulating the inadvertent, because they do have that. When I went to the American Meteorological Society conference, I've been there a couple times, once as a reporter, they have deliberate and inadvertent weather modification seminars as well. So this is part of their narrative. But that the management of water vapor is very important too. That is also the title of the American Meteorological Society conferences. Water management is a part of the title. So, and also interesting to note is that even when they deny that they don't report on to the World Meteorological Organization on weather modification in the states that year, but they're reporting on the whole world, they do admit that in the states, there are players that have been engaged in weather modification for over 50 years, like the hydroelectric companies. So the management of water has been very significant for a long time. So they're ignoring microwaves. You know what the largest, we want to talk about HARP, but they love that narrative as well. Not that they don't use HARP, but you really can't prove too much. Maybe you can, when and where and how they're using it. And they've already said they've moved on to other ways. And there's other HARP facilities all over the world. I do believe that manages the ionosphere, but it cannot manage the weather in every square inch of the world without a raise. And what we're seeing, what yours truly, after interviewing Weather War 101, who does talk about Doppler, yours truly made the discovery during Irma in 2017 that it was going right into Doppler radar by the eye. And I said, well, that's interesting. Yeah. I bet you it will keep doing that. I just felt like a woman who caught her husband cheating on her. I'd been sniffing around and I found it. And sure enough, it went into one Doppler radar after another, and then it kept doing that. And then we kept studying. We found out that Katrina, it went into five Doppler radars straight, one after the other, directly. Now, I don't know what they're using to steer it over the waters. Because
are these stations or satellites, Doppler? Which one are they?
These are stations on the ground in your backyard. When the meteorologist says, today we're going to check out the weather, look at what Doppler radar says. That is the thing. It is so good at supposedly predicts the weather. It is so good at reading the weather, supposedly predicts it. Well, that is because it is predicting the paths and what we have cracked the code on. I say we, there's been a few people that have helped me in this, and there's other people that are doing it to their own, but I've been able to call the landfall of a hurricane precisely better than anybody else, any other meteorologist, because I figured out it can create high and low pressure areas on demand, and then it could energize an area. So there's a big blue on the screen where the radars are, and they all overlap all across America, and you have them in Hawaii too. And we're going to share screens and teach the viewer how to predict the weather. Now it's on demand, so I don't know what they're going to do in an hour from now, but I can tell you what it's doing now. I can look at the sky and know what the radar is going to be doing because I know what the radar does and the effects that the radar has. And we've triangulated in more ways than documenting hurricanes for years, going into one after the other, which is a statistical impossibility. This is what an attorney had said. Actually, it was the wife of an attorney because the attorney didn't want to touch it. She says, well, you may not know how, but if you can show more than one hurricane in a row and more than one radar in a row, now you have a statistical impossibility. Now they have the burden of proof to explain. And said, maybe it's inadvertent, right? Maybe they don't know, but we've triangulated further on that because the literature says they're not supposed to point the beam in one direction for too long. And yet we see the beam pointing the Doppler, because the Doppler works by sending out a beam. And it'll bounce back and read the moisture that's out there, right? And of course, you get the chemtrails or the contrails that are heavily chemical. All contrails are chemtrails, first of all. It is a linguistic joke that you call them just water vapor. And water vapor isn't just water vapor because it drives climate. But you add some chemicals there and now you have something you can manage, right? And so you have these beams that are pointed in the direction of the hurricane for days leading into it, going right into it. And I took a little sabbatical. I had a second child and it was COVID and we were more worried about, the jabination that was going on and are fighting for freedom. So I'm only a one woman show. I can only do so much, especially during lockdowns when all hell breaks loose and you got your own personal stuff to take care of. So I kind of put everything on the back burner. Plus my YouTube channel was taken down. So I've been trying to re-upload some of the important stuff and I'm on Rumble or YouTube. I'm sure we'll share that information. Nola Butterfly 2, my second channel. But I woke up with Liana because my heart just broke when I saw the butchery that took place. And I know the narratives. I've been following social engineering, and I follow how, you know, the agenda is rolling out, and how, you know, the Jabba Nation, as well as weaponized weather, they're all tools in the globalist depopulation and consolidation toolbox, right? They just pull it out. They've got these narratives that they pull out, and these things that they distract with, and they're the masters of the narratives, because they control the media. Oh, they, you know, who are they? You know, who are the people that are censoring everything and that are telling us, you know, what is okay to talk about and not talk about? So in any case, I've been following this. So when I saw everything from the police chief that, you know, from the winds that kicked up all of a sudden, and I went and I looked. Unfortunately, I wasn't tracking the storm in real time. And so my favorite time to catch these buggers is in real time, because then I have all the details that I need. I have certain radars have more detail and definition than others. I'm happy when it's time to share the screen to show you some of these things, and to show you what it looks like to have a storm going right into the radar and then do a 45 degree turn into the next radar, or move backwards into a radar.
We had no rain. We had big winds, no rain.
Right. And so it can make wind. And so this is something I'll be sharing with you and to explain. So when you look at the radar, there are rings, concentric rings around it. And you might see a blue on the screen or not. When the blue is on the screen, the further out that blue is, that means they're energizing the air. And you will not find low clouds when they do that. They are energizing the air, and you can just watch those clouds rise up and get pushed up, and you can see it. Now they can pulse it too, right? So that blue will shrink. Now, so what happens when they have a blue that energizes the air and stays up there? It energizes it, and then they shrink it, right? So when they shrink it, that energy is released and it rises, and it creates a vacuum underneath. And you will see wind waves going poof, poof, poof from multiple directions over the radar. You have a triangulation. So you want to create wind. Well, I don't know about radars that they can roll out. I don't know about that. I'm sure they can. They've got them at sea. I can't prove anything except the use of the radars that are on the grid. And so when you started having tornadoes in Europe, in France, that never has them, they're going online with their radar. This is what's going on. So this is all mixing years of research and the research of other people, such as Weather War 101. I did an interview on him before I made my discovery of Doppler radar. He shows a lot of the power plants infusing water vapor into the system. I've driven through rain being made by power plants on my way to the American Meteorological Society conference in Texas, just coming right out. And you get this, they've created snow blizzard. They're on record with that. So this is a grid, you know. And I in my work, I made a documentary series called World of Hot Water. And then I condensed it into a movie, but the series goes into greater detail. I didn't feel comfortable making these claims on my own. I'm like, I don't need to be that girl. Okay. I do not need to be that girl. And so I said, when could this have started? Cause they can't just be rolling it out now. I have to acknowledge what I'm seeing on radar. These are radar observations. I have to acknowledge the fact that I can predict the landfall when I can read where they're creating high pressure here and high pressure here in a low pressure valley. So I know that the hurricanes are going to go through that. I can show that the beam is feeding it. So, oh, looks like it's going to go into Charlie right there, you know, or KLIX or whichever Doppler it is. So we can start screen sharing here.
Talk about the Doppler stations, are you talking about when you said KLX or whatever like that? Are these actual like television stations that have the Doppler radar because they have, you know, they report the weather? Where are these Doppler stations usually?
Let me see if I could pull up a map here on the desktop, or is this the documents I downloads? Do I have a download?
Because this is a lot of information for even our listeners to kind of try and put the whole, you know, the science.
So it's a grid. It's, here we go. Let me show you. And let me screen share this here. So.
Because another thing I I was there in Lahaina on the day of the fires. I didn't get caught. I escaped through the back part of the island. But out in the ocean, I was seeing water spouts as well, more than one water spouts. And I had never seen that before either. So I knew something strange was going on.
Okay, so are we screen sharing here?
Yes, yes, I can see the screen perfectly.
This is your system of radars, okay, that are across the whole nation. And then you have them covering Hawaii too. These are your weather makers, honey.
These all look like they're attached to, you know, radio or television stations.
They're Doppler. You can just Google what an X-ray Doppler. It's actually a dome, okay? And they have them out. In these areas, and you can see the weather triangulating over this. There's been a lot of office. This is a gazillion dollar secret. Okay. This is what, even in the chemtrail community, there are gatekeepers to keep you away from recognizing this significance, because they can't hide the grid. It's not like a plane that's going to be gone in a second. You cannot undo the knowing of this once you know this. This is why I got targeted. But I'm not a whistleblower. I am just a person with pattern recognition observing radar.
You said they're dome. Are they like satellite dishes on it? Or
there's a satellite dish.
We have lots of domes on top of Haleakala here in Maui.
We can actually go into, you know, electromagnetic frequency. And when I went back in time to prove when this started, I went all the way back to Nikola Tesla, and I found the first tornado that was man-made, at least as far as we know, that was made through the Wardenclyffe Tower, through looking at a list of tornadoes that was historic. And there was one called the Mattoon tornado. And I don't know if you can see my arrow here. Can you see my arrow?
Yes, I can.
Okay. So the Wardenclyffe Tower was somewhere around here, and the Mattoon tornado was somewhere around here pointing to it. It was three states long. It was the longest straight line tornado they'd ever had. And say, well, maybe it wasn't straight line because maybe there was but something ripped the fabric and it was pointed. It was pointing to the Wardenclyffe Tower. The chances of it, I mean, it could have been pointed this way or that way, anywhere along the radius, you know, of a circle. But the tornado was pointing towards the Wardenclyffe Tower. And that's in my movie, the documentary series and the movie. I have a whole Nikola Tesla. This was his vision for the world. Not only wireless communications, but wireless power. And we saw something, okay, in Guadalajara a few years ago, which betrays a possible even greater hyper-localized weather. So you have HARP that does, and the other HARP-like heaters that manage the ionosphere, right? But there's only so many of those. But these, look at how many there are.
Yeah.
Look at how many there are. We're covered, right? And so if they pulse two of these out, they could put wind that goes out to the area in between. There's been convergence. And at first you had an activist called Dutch Schintz who was calling them HARP rings. That was very disingenuous because they're not HARP rings. They're Doppler rings. And it's very clear if you're looking at the radar. So there was a little bit of redirect around that. I do want to get to some video so that you can see some of what we're talking about here. But
do you have a map or anything that shows what, you know, the Maui Doppler?
Well, I don't have a map. I actually have the radar itself. So are we ready to do that?
Let's go for it. You know, it's new all new education and weather. You know, it's sort of like when you think of climate change. Yeah, change by the people, powers that be. They're the ones changing it. So
That's why I call it climate changed. It's been changed. This is the thing. Both sides are right. Right? Oh, climate change is a hoax and it's deliberate and man-made. Absolutely. Yes. I will bring both sides together and show you how they're both right and what they're both missing. So do you have the new share here?
I can see it.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let me make a bigger screen for myself. And let me go home. So right now they're creating a drought in Louisiana, okay? They're bringing up the salt water. We haven't had rain in months, very little. And it's allowing the salt water to go up the river. And if it gets up far enough, since we depend on that salt water, since we depend on the Mississippi for all of our bathing, which is a disgusting thought because it's really polluted, then the Army Corps of Engineers can't filter it out fast enough, then they will have to shut off the water to preserve the pumps in the city. And we'll have millions of people without water for bathing, flushing, cooking, never mind drinking, but we, you know, we'll have to, it could be a disaster if they don't keep up with it. So
I perceive water
right here. Let's
in the future. Yes.
So let me just show you real quick. Oh, this is the part I didn't want, is where this comes up. Okay. Sorry. Okay. I have to bring this down just a little bit so that, okay. So this is my radar right now. Okay.
Okay.
Let's make sure you can see it. All right. You see this blue? This blue creates a high pressure area. When they shrink it, it's like a pulse. Now, when you see flat bottom clouds, because we used to have a lot more flat bottom clouds, but we don't anymore. And this has actually been confirmed by a former Weather Air Force observer who says she doesn't even know how to tell the levels on these on the sky clouds, because it's just this icky, droopy bottom. And you know, it's because it's all being suctioned up. And so let's go here to, here you guys are. All right. Promise I'd make this relevant for y'all.
Oh.
Now I want you to know, even though I did not capture the Doppler radar that day, okay, that dreadful, horrible, hellacious day that you all were assaulted and attacked violently. Okay, these winds were very convenient, right? They happened right in time, right when they should, right when there was a storm, right? These winds can be made on cue. So what I'd like to challenge y'all is to order the product. You can order the product. They call it a product. You can order the product for what the radars were doing that day, and you can see if they were pulsing it. Now, I'll show you what you're looking for, okay? I'll show you what you're looking for. So this is Lahaina, right?
Yeah. Where your cursor right now, that's Maui.
Right.
The one that looks sort of like a head and a body. Yeah, that's
Maui. This is it right here, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so this is where you were. And so this is one of the radars. Let's see here. So I go up, let me move this out of the way. Okay. I go up into radar selection. I can have the CONUS, which is America. These are the different radars involved. Like, I would get what this radar was doing and what that radar were doing. Now, like I said, I can't help you out if the military had a radar here that's not on grid. Cannot help you out with that. I can only let you know that you can check out what the grid was doing, because the grid is weaponized. Okay. This is, I'm not seeing the hurricane going into unknown radars. I'm seeing the hurricanes going into the land-based radars. And I get really upset when people say harp, harp, harp. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But Doppler is what you want to be looking at, because Doppler is your only liability if there's enough people who care and want to take this issue to task. I can't do it by myself. I've done what I can. I've gotten plenty of harassment, enough with that. It needs to go to the next level. And I've been waiting for you guys. I've been waiting for a community that cares about what happened to themselves enough to come and look for this truth.
Okay. And so, we can see that,
you know, maybe they found another way of doing it, but I'm telling you right now, this is how I've seen it. And I will show you more. We will triangulate more here so that you see what it looks like. Okay. So that you see that I'm not just making it up. They need to answer to what we're seeing on the radar, not the other way around. I'm just pointing out the radar. I'm not a whistleblower. I'm just the kid showing that the emperor has no clothes.
And where your cursor just was is right across from it, like the head of Maui, you can see, is exactly where Lahaina is. So it's facing right to the Lahaina shore. Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What, which one? Well, this is Lahaina Shore, right?
Yeah, right there. Yeah, right. So, well, a little bit up further. Yeah,
but
it's sort of like the pineal glands.
Like
yeah.
Right. So, I mean, look at the range of this radar, okay? Just look at the range of this radar. Give me a second here for it to catch up. Excuse me for any slow loading. But and also just know that the radar is showing you the weather an hour ago. It's not real time, but you can actually take, I've started doing this. I have a video showing the drought and explaining it to people. I show the sky. See, look at this. You're completely within the range of this radar.
Yeah.
Okay. Now let's go back. Right, right. You're completely within the range of it. You're within the inner circle, not even the outer circle. Let's go back. Let's try this one out and see how much that one you might be on the outer circle of. But if the both of those are pulsing, what can you do? You know? So you all are gonna be pros at this. I'm gonna tell you here what I know, what I've learned. It took me several years of asking of questions. And what are my credentials? I'm not a professional. So I actually don't have a career at stake. I have nothing at stake but wanting to know the truth. So I am very qualified. They want to make you think that you need some sort of degree. You need to just know how to think, how to ask questions, because that's the first part of science is observing. And science is never settled. If science was settled, there would be no progress in science ever. So you're on the second ring of this radar and on the first ring of that one, right?
Yeah.
So these are the radars of interest for you guys to order the product of for that day. And I would do a range of days and I would look specifically at the time. You can go down here and you can look at the time. Now you might want to get a UTC map, universal time code map, to interpret what time that will actually be for your time. Okay, UTC map, because they go through the time zone starts in like, what is it, Greenwich or something like that, somewhere in Greenland. So you just, you know, just triangulate the time and order the product. You might have to animate it. That means they might give you some unanimated slide and you might have to slideshow it. It's a little bit of work. But if you're not going to be lazy, if you're really going to invest, this is why I don't do it. If I can only do so much. I need people to care. I was also the lady that stopped the rollout of 5G in my town because I asked them for one study proving that 5G is safe for humanity. I try to get enough people to go with me. I just could get a handful of people. I can't be that lady all the time, but I will be that lady that shows you what there is. And if you guys want to be the people who care, and I think you guys are. So I commend you on, you know, doing your own investigation. So can we start just showing a few videos? Let me add a new share. Is that okay?
Yeah. Go ahead while you're doing that. You know, and I'm thinking about whether, you know, because we, like I said, we have stuff on top of Haleakala they don't necessarily talk about. But when you show the Doppler station, like on Hawaii, I mean, on the main island, the bigger island, it hit the other part of the island, which was the Kula fires. So we had two fires going, the big Lahaina fire and all the strange Kula fires up country, which is on the other side, which would face the big island. So, you know, this is kind of interesting where the placement of these Hawaiian Doppler stations are. So go ahead.
Yes. And also remember, it's a grid. It's a grid. They love, the more they can fan out this grid between the chemtrails and this, I'm not saying they didn't use satellites. I just can't prove a satellite. Once you get out into space, you lost me. I'm gone. I can't prove what they're doing. Some people know how to track satellites now. That's interesting. And we can look also on here to a very interesting patent I think you all should take a look at. But again, it's going to be hard to triangulate. And let me just tell you one thing too. I would be careful with, I don't know what he's doing, Elon Musk, the fact that, you know, the whole selling of his coming to the rescue with the wireless, like he put up a microwave grid in the sky. We are covered by it. My friend has seen like beams coming out of the, was it Starlink? And I'm just very suspicious of that. Anytime they go and put things up in space, supposedly for our good, you know, I mean, I know that we like the internet and all those things are essential and have become essential in this time. I'm not against technology. I'm just for transparency and the benign use of it. And if humans don't know where technology is at, then it's going to be used as a disadvantage to further control us. So let me see here. I want to further screen share this. So let me go back on Zoom. Sorry if I'm taking a minute here. Let me focus. Why are we not?
So when you're, as you're doing that, let me just ask you, with the Doppler, you say it beams out, gets information and brings it back, correct? To the station. And
yes.
Yeah. So what is it? Is it beaming out microwave? What is it beaming out?
Yeah. These are on the electromagnetic spectrum. So, what frequency exactly, there's information on that out there. And, I have documents. I don't commit that stuff to memory, but it is in the, and when you say, oh, they're microwaving the sky, well, wouldn't we be all nuked? The electromagnetic frequency is a spectrum. And so you can energize things. I was talking too about how a few summers ago in Guadalajara, then this is important here, that in Guadalajara, there was a sudden freak in summertime, June or July, maybe it was August, not snowstorm, sleet, hailstorm that turned into sleet that completely enveloped these cars. And I can show you the video of that, but one thing at a time, I don't want to get ahead of myself. But it completely enveloped the cars, right? And the news reported on it here in the States, you know, is used as part of the climate change narrative. But when you, another activist kind of showed the whole footage, and it was interesting because it was only for 2 to 3 blocks. And it was only in the streets, not on the sidewalk, not on the roofs of the buildings, but underneath the 5G LED lights. And so the question becomes, how hyper-localized, and look at New York City, but also I did an overlap with New York City, again, a couple days afterwards. Now there is a website that does show the Doppler radars for the whole CONUS, which is the whole continental United States, in an archive. It does it for a birding website, because supposedly you could track birds through radar as well. It's kind of interesting. But I was able to show how they were not activating that blue on top of New York City and in that area the day of, but it was in the rest of the United States, a very strong blue. So they were blocking it from going anywhere else. And I showed how the rain went backwards and the cone of extreme and severe weather was around the Doppler radar. So that is interesting. When you keep having overlaps like that,
sometimes you see it all of a sudden make an unusual turn, the weather,
right.
You know, right. And as you said, steering it, you know, because that's not normal that all of a sudden a weather pattern takes a sharp right turn, you know.
Right. And so we're going to start watching this here. It's going to start with Acquiesce, which was a company that was marketing themselves in the news in Africa, that they would end the drought in the Horn of Africa by using a technology that uses very simple, but non-polluting electromagnetics. And they align with the jet stream that's already out there and gently bring it in, gently, gently. And I show, I overlap. The overlap I do with his interview is the work that I captured of the radar, doing the same thing with the storm, bringing a storm in backwards into the radar, okay? Showing that what he's talking about is exactly what I'm showing. And so let me get to it. Let me see if that, let me know if you can see it.
Okay.
Can you see the screen where that's about to play? Or do I need a screen?
Yeah, you know, I can see everything.
Okay, so, I don't know if it.
Just go ahead and click on the icon.
Oh, let me go to the media player. Here we go. Okay.
Yes, I can see.
We're drawing rain systems that exist over the oceans into geographic targets, into our agricultural areas. The technology uses electromagnetics, so we're not interfering with the atmosphere or with the environment. We're not damaging it. We're not using chemicals fired through rockets like other technologies use. We use a very gentle but powerful technology, launching electromagnetics into the atmosphere to modify the flow of the weather system over the ocean and drawing it into a target. So to try and keep it simple, we establish some kind of link with a weather system. And once we've seen through satellite meteorology that we have that link, we're able to draw that system in incrementally towards the target, such as in this case, the Horn of Africa.
So let's take this one as a case study. This was April 20th through the 21st of 2012. This was the visual that they showed on the website. And just as an example of their composite map, and I thought it was a great example to use because here you can actually see, you have a front coming through, and then the Doppler radars build a wall. They bloom out, stopping it from continuing on, and it sends it up instead. So he's coming across, but the blooms come, and then it breaks it up and sends it out. And this is illustrated really well on the slower one here. See, this Doppler turns that, takes that line of weather, and because it's...
And it created a nice wall so that it only stayed in one area, yeah.
Yes, and watch this too. What you need to understand that it does more than just bloom out. It does more than just make beams that feed into that the eye of the storm goes right into. Because so it creates a beam that can create a pathway for storms to go into. It can create a high pressure area that it can stop a storm, or it can shrink it and make a wind wave. And we'll show that later on. We'll show that later on, but it can also turn clockwise or counterclockwise, moving the energy out. So check out this bottom one as we continue here.
It goes like that, goes around it, like it splits it up, like it's a Laffy Taffy being pulled on a line of conveyor belts.
Doppler can turn one way and then it moves away. That ball is a piece of energy through, and that Doppler
coming in, bloom, separate, split.
So it's that whole expansion and contraction type of
as it contracts, so does the weather triangulate over it. So let's see here. So you can play that back if you're watching this. Let's see here.
Pressure.
Let's see. Friends. High and low pressure. So right now it's, when it's all blue, it's high a high pressure.
Areas.
Now it's low, right? They release that.
So this is low pressure, 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 high pressure.
And this is over what period of time? Or is this, I mean, is this so over?
This is over the course of a day here. You can look at it on the top here. You see this?
Okay.
It'll track the time. So this, Paul Hurtado website. It's a birding website. So they have an archive of every day. Unfortunately, he doesn't cover Hawaii, but he does this so that he just does it. He's a weather enthusiast. He's a bird enthusiast who uses the radar. But on a daily basis, you could check it out. You can click on your local areas. I can send you links to, I'm going to send you a link to the radar that we do use, but let's, do you mind if we continue on the study? Now that we've explained
it. Yeah, go ahead.
Let's see. Okay, so.
Low pressure. High pressure.
Okay.
It wouldn't be till later on that we nuanced our discovery a little better, realizing that the beams feed the path of the water vapor, but it is the depletion of the Doppler radar within the zone that makes a vacuum of sorts. And nature abhors a vacuum.
See the wind wave?
Thus, the winds and the energies move in towards the center of that vacuum.
And that's the green.
They're waves. And I'll show several examples of the waves here.
They're depleting it. It's shrinking. It's coming down, so they're not. And then whoosh, the energy comes in across it.
From different angles.
Right, because nature abhors a vacuum. When that energy they put in there.
And stop. Did you see some of the, let me move this back a second, just 10 seconds. Oh, is it going to play? Come on. Sorry if I got it stuck here. But you could see it starts to ruffle. It starts to ridge. So these aren't harp ridges. These aren't harp ruffles. These are Doppler. This is a trillion-dollar secret. They cannot take this grid down. They're relying on it. They don't want this to reach human consciousness. They can't put the cat back in the bag. And so it's been very hard to get the chemtrail community to echo this. I had people following me because they can, with intellectual honesty, they can see that they can see this for themselves. Right. So let's see if I can get this to play again.
Okay. While you're doing that, the pattern, just because this is, I'm sure people are watching this and they're not, might be a little confused. You know, the white lines, these grid lines, when they start to wave like that, you know, that means that that's the wind manipulation, or just making sure I understand that correct as well.
Well, and I don't know why this is not working here. Okay. Hopefully I don't have to do this cleanup while I'm in the middle of a Zoom. I don't know what that would do. It should be playing. Okay. So... Okay. Let's see if I can move it along. Okay, so this was a multiple. Okay, let's see here. See this? See how that becomes ruffled?
Yes, ruffled. Right.
It's the white. That's the effect it has on the clouds and the surrounding area.
Oh, it's the blue ruffling. I see what you mean.
The blue ruffling. Yeah, it is the energy. But yes, it affects the clouds.
It's like striations. It's right where your cursor is, the striation lines. And somebody once, you know, showed me that, and they thought that was harp related, when indeed that is the Doppler, the manipulation right there, correct?
Correct. But look, I'm not saying harp doesn't act. I believe that harp is an ionospheric heater that they use more to manage the jet stream. And then this is a tropospheric heater, which is a lower region of the atmosphere that helps decide whether that jet stream is going to have an effect and what kind of effect it's going to have on a localized area. And now you want to add 5G, a high 5G area. You can have a biblical flooding in New York City that aligns with. Right, because it's all electromagnetic. It's a grid. It's electromagnetic frequency. Once you understand what all they can do with frequencies, we are all frequency, energy, and vibration. Nikola Tesla, and this is, we know this. We know that they change the frequency of music to one that's discord. The Nazis did it, and then the International Board of Music, whatever people, that's not my area, made it a standard.
Hertz, right, yeah.
Yeah, so, and we know that some people are healing with Rife machines, frequency machines. Let me give you another example. Do you know that, well, you can charge your phone using a wire, right? And then you can also charge your phone wirelessly by putting it on top of this thing that it charges through contact, right?
Yes, yes, it's true.
Well, they had for a moment a contactless wireless charger, but they kind of took it away from the market because they don't want people realizing that energy, power, not just communication, is transferable without wires.
Right.
And would say, well, why are we proliferating at a time when we say that global warming is so bad? Why would we be proliferating the landscape with this electromagnetic frequency technology that also has, according to the scientists in their own narratives, I can pull up at some point when I go digging into my files, them talking about the very, very slight warming effect of 5G.
Got it.
So it doesn't have to be like your coffee in a microwave oven to energize and affect water vapor and energy transfer. This was what Nikola Tesla was selling to the world. Watch my Nikola Tesla story on my channel to get the whole story and his words about what was possible once he understood the nature of the universe.
Raphael, that rippling, that blue rippling. If one were to look up into the sky, would one see cloud rippling? Would one see any visible signs of that as well? Or is this all...
If there were clouds, they would. And I capture this. I don't know if you want to see this, but just progress here and see what else there is. But yeah, this is what I started doing, is capturing my skies. And then an hour later, capturing the radar. And I can even make a prediction to what the radar is going to be doing based on what my sky is doing. I'm like, oh, we have low clouds. But now look at them. They're pushing it up. All of a sudden, those clouds are way up high, right? They're creating that high pressure. They're blooming out that blue. And look, if all of a sudden there's a wind, right, or something, and the clouds start coming in, then I know they release that blue. And you can see clouds coming off. But we used to watch them release water vapor from the power plants in Baton Rouge. We had people in Baton Rouge that were filming it coming out, like bellowing out clouds. And we would see it come up. And then at the end of the day, we would see rain in New Orleans and capture the flooding in New Orleans. I've got to re-upload that video. But I mean, I just wanted this to go viral. I don't want to be that girl anymore. I got kids to raise. I got things to do. There's no reason why this shouldn't be everybody's pastime, wherever they're at. Capture your sky, then look at the radar. And some radars are boring and really static and don't show this detail. This is the detail you need. You notice weather.cod.edu/setrad/nextrad. You know, sorry if that came down here. So you wanna, I'll send you the link so you don't have to figure it out. Go to Hawaii, or you're in Maine, or you're in California. Let me tell you, the radar rolled out in three phases: 1957, 1974, and 1988 to 92. Now they've done some modifications and high grade, you know, upgrading of the technology since then in different phases. But we saw in the Midwest in 1992 drought, okay, that from a high pressure ridge, it just wasn't going away in the Midwest. Well, that was when they were done, you know, upscaling the radars to the 88, 99, 92 version, right? The last time the salt went up river was in 1988 in Louisiana. That's when they were rolling out the radar. And so let's just keep going here. It's an interesting study. We could do as much or as little as you like. If you need to absorb this, that's fine. I can send you videos where y'all can study this at your leisure, or we can...
It's a plasma wave as it goes down. See, it converges over there.
We can make links to these videos,
yes,
under this, if people want to see them more in real time. You know, and it brings me back to many years ago in the 70s, my undergraduate degree, NYU, and a journalism professor asked this whole, you know, big, you know, auditorium group of all these journalists, what is the one thing in the world that can change the world, can make wars, can stop wars, can change political strata? He just went on and on. And, you know, people around the world were saying, oh, this, and not one of them had a right. And the final answer is the weather. He said, if you can control the weather, you can control wars, you can control politics, you can control economies, you can control countries, you can control everything.
And you know, the
stuck in my mind.
Before I made this discovery, can you hear me still? Because I yes, muted the video, but not this, yes, video. Okay. Before I made this discovery, I was just collecting. I mean, I can show you the timeline on weather modification history. I'm a weather modification historian. I'm a little rusty, so I don't have all my facts committed to, you know, to memory, but I have it in my timelines. This has been the stated intention since the beginning of time. You had a guy that made a flood when San Diego, you know, rainmaking is an old craft. Humans have always been interested in rainmaking. There used to be a myth that after wars and battles, there would be a great rain that would come and wash down the blood. But there were theories that the cannon fodder and things like that would have maybe fueled the rain. There were, in the 1800s, as soon as they could stick a balloon up into the air, a hot air balloon, generals were up there throwing chemicals from the sky. As soon as there were planes that were flying, they were throwing chemicals from the sky. It was, there were people that were against cloud seeding because they thought it led to, they thought it led to mental retardation. I don't know if that's politically correct to say, but that these were the things that they were complaining about. Then there was the Texas cattle ranchers in the 50s who sued the weather modification efforts because they said it stole the rain from their cattle and their land. So there's always been a liability issue. Like, so yeah, in San Diego, this guy, there was a drought and they offered to pay $10,000 to whoever could end the drought. And a gentleman named Charles Hatfield came, spent a few days pouring his little chemicals down on the ground. And then it started to rain. And then it started to really, really rain. And it started to fill the reservoirs and it started to overflow the reservoirs and it killed cattle and people and livestock. And there was damages. And so they didn't want to pay him. And he said, well, you said you were going to pay me $10,000. I said, okay, we'll pay you the $10,000, but you're going to pay the liability, the millions of dollars in damages. And so he said, okay, you can keep your $10,000. There were mobs that wanted to get him. So there's always been liability. It's always been an issue because there's winners and losers, and everybody wants the glory, but nobody wants the pay, right? To pay those that were in pain from the losses. And, you know, we weaponized weather in Vietnam with a few simple cloud seeding projects that extended the monsoon season and wiped out the Ho Chi Minh Trail. And it wasn't complicated. You can see Ben Livingston interviews for Alex Jones. Ironically, he's done some gatekeeping to this work. It's been very interesting who has gatekept this work, the evidence of this work. Everybody can talk about it, but they won't actually go in and prove it. This is the proof that you're looking at right now.
Well, it's dynamite proof, right? I mean,
they don't want this to enter human consciousness because then it can't roll. They can't unroll it. Then they lose. So they love you to go to space. They love you to go to HAARP. They love you to go to Antarctica. They don't want you going in your backyard, realizing what's managing, hyper-localizing your weather. And once they have enough of a 5G rollout, it might be hard to prove, right? Because it'll be that much more spread out. But right now, we have a golden window of opportunity to catch these buggers on the ground in the backyard where they do not want us looking. And, you know, how much more do we go here? This is another area here. So the depletion and then the waves of energy. And if it has any clouds, it'll bring the clouds and the winds. But it brings the winds in anyways. It's the energy that depletes.
Rafael, are you saying that they have total control over this? Or, I mean, say like Charles Hatfield, of course, he was just a neophyte at this. But are they at the stage where they totally can control it and it won't get out of hand and cause, you know, extreme damage unless they want to cause that damage, of course?
I think they have target areas. All right. So, if they're pulsing the system to get an objective done, right? So let's say, okay, we need a storm to hit New Orleans, right? Or we need a storm. Then they're going to have to pulse the continent the way they need to. So somebody might get drought that day that they don't care if they get drought or not. So, but that's just, sorry, you're in the way, right? So do they can control the target area for sure. Is it 100%? I'm sure there's margins of error. And I'm sure that they're probably, who's got their hands on the Doppler? I'm sure that it's AI controlled with whoever is the mastermind general that is, you know, behind the ultimate objective, right? So if they wanted to get rid of like the importation of, Mexicans that were South Americans that were sent to New York City, they'll just say, okay, we got a flood in New York. Let's clean it out and get everybody out of there.
And they just did. Yeah.
Well, that's,
that was my first question when I saw, because I had lived in New York for many years and, you know, all those garden apartments that are down below and you see water rushing in. And I said, my first thing was said, well, what did they do to all the immigrants, you know, who were, you know, maybe out on the street and so forth like that? And that was the first thing is, okay, did they use it, you know, as a way to eliminate some of that?
Sure. And I'll say, you know, never take the cow to market just for the milk. You got those horns, you've got those, you know, you got that hide, you got that meat. And you know, that's what we see is that it's not usually all black and white. There's usually a few shades of gray in there. A lot of ways to manipulate it furthers the climate change agenda and narrative that rolls, you know, and then as soon as you're a victim of weather, then you tend to get on the bandwagon. You know, at least that's the objective. So here's the Air Force Weather Observer. I don't know if you want to.
Yeah. Is this what we're seeing? We're seeing a cloud formation here. We see a lot of strange clouds in Maui. I mean, really strange clouds at times. I have some pictures of them as well.
This almost looks like the eye of a hurricane.
Some of these clouds, you know.
Yeah. Well, this is like, you know, Doppler. They blame it on HAARP, and you know, I'm sure HAARP can do it, but can HAARP manage the weather every square inch of the world? Not really, right? I mean, you need a lot of arrays for that, and we're seeing. And now I want to say something else. I want to put something else on your radar, pun intended. This is a theory of a friend who works in the power plants, right? So she, when there's down power plants, she goes there. She was seeing, this was a new line of research, so I can't back it up. I don't have the proof, but this is also for human consciousness if someone wants to take this work further. You know that solar fields are blamed for creating drought. That is a mainstream complaint. And wind farms are also, there's a concern of people have banded together in California to stop a wind farm because it could create greater fire risk. And so you have recently had solar farms and wind farms added to your area. So how that plays into the grid is interesting, but I don't know enough about that, but I'm showing you plenty enough just on the radar itself, right? So, but you can't rule out that it's a grid, and it's kind of a catch-22, because as there's bad weather, the narrative rolls out and they come out and say, we need more communications. We need more talking between radars and weather stations. And, you know, we need more of this. And so it's like, it's just this never ending self-feeding catch-22 that amplifies itself. Right. And unfortunately the narrative intensifies with each event that happens, but so we need to be vigilant and keep our eyes open to everything, because they would love for us to not be able to pinpoint it, but we need to give credit where credit is due and start holding them accountable where we can. And so this is why I'm happy to share this, but this was the former weather observer and what she's talking about.
It's really hard to hear her, understand her. Can you kind of tell us what?
Of the clouds that I see on a daily basis are anything like clouds. They're all fake clouds.
Yeah.
I see the ripples on the bottom one. Yeah. See those ripples?
Yes.
Yeah. Can you show us, because Raphael, it is really hard to understand, or even with the volume turned up. Can you show us some more pictures of what people can look for in the skies that will give them a heads up that it's being manipulated?
So these are flat bottom clouds. This is where you have an even level. We don't have that anymore because they're fluctuating those microwaves, right? And it's all being sucked up. She was saying she doesn't understand why there would be more water vapor up higher than there normally is closer to the ground, because the further up you go, the less air there should be, right? This was her as a weather observer back in the years, and now it doesn't make sense to her. So, you know, this was just a little slideshow here. Let's see here. Let's see what else there is here, because I think, okay, these are chemtrails. These are the power plants when they pop off and create, you know, infuse water vapor into the atmosphere. This is harp rings you could see around the station. Okay, so, and then this is when I noticed, when I first noticed the storm was going into the radar, and I thought, oh my God, did he just say we're having interference? We have a bad view of Doppler is a bad view because the storm is interfering with it. And I'm like, I just put two and two together right there. It all came home for me. And I'm like, are they going to do this? And this was where I made the observation.
This was down in Key West.
Look at the eye of the hurricane going right over Doppler radar.
It was going right into it.
And look, this is not a hurricane. This is a land-based weather event.
So let's see if I... You can see going in sideways. And here's the second one. You can see the beam over here.
All right. Here we go, guys.
So it's going right into that beam.
Guided. Okay. Next rad. The eye is going right towards the next rad center.
There's the beam.
Yep. Here we go.
And it's coming up.
It. Let's see. We'll just keep ping-ponging from next rad to next rad. So far, every storm takes place over next rad Doppler radar.
This was me discovering it in real time. I was blowing my own mind.
And you're saying, you know, regular weather people are somewhat clueless to this, or what? You know, they haven't.
Yeah, you know, you. A lot of people are clueless when their husbands are cheating on them because they have a very comfy lifestyle and it's in their best interest to remain clueless, right? when you have invested interest in something and the narrative and they tell you that, it might be in your back burner that something is weird, but you don't put it together. And it's just one event out. You're just bouncing from one event to the other. But I was on the trail. I knew my husband was cheating on me. I just needed the handkerchief, right? I needed the lipstick on the handkerchief, something, right? My intuition and a history of abuse kind of like let me know that there was something going on. And I just couldn't believe that I'd be the girl. You know, no, I'm not the girl that noticed this. Like, surely maybe somebody else did this work in the chemtrail community. Now, people have done other things, but this was something that, and I, you know, right before that, there's a few things that happened right before that. I had somebody I knew in the military who told me that, and I called out Hurricane Harvey in Texas right before this. I said it was going to reform. I call it out on Facebook before the meteorologist did, because he was told to pack his bags by the military. And so I was kind of on edge. I didn't know how they were doing it, but I was on edge. And when there was a storm coming, I was kind of also a little bit of PTSD from Katrina. So I didn't know if it was going to come to New Orleans, because this hurricane went from going on the East Coast of Florida to the West Coast. And I was suspicious that it might do that, but it didn't come to New Orleans. But that's when I noticed, wait a minute, oh, we have it. And I had just done the Weather War 101 interview, and he talks about the tornadoes and the Doppler radar. I didn't really follow his work or enough to know exactly like how it happened. I know that it could push out energy, and it was kind of a little complicated. And even he tried to keep me when I shared this work with him. He was quiet about it the first time. I said, what'd you think about this? And he was quiet. And then I thought, maybe I stepped on his toes. I'm like, I'm sorry, did you discover this already? And am I like ignoring something you've done? And he's like, no, you want to focus on the power plants because Doppler is hard to prove. And I said, but I just did. And I said, I would like to get a comment on it. My viewers would like to know that I've shared his work. What you think about this? And you know what happened? That's when he went AWOL from years of his work. He went off the air altogether, stopped making videos. I never heard from him again. Nobody did. Somebody reached out to me and said he died. Well, if he did, deepest regrets. But I never heard him comment on my discovery. And he was the one pointing out how different chemtrail activists would fight with each other to keep people from ever being unified on facts that were observable. There's some intellectual dishonesty there. But think about it. If you were going to hack the weather, would you not want to make sure that nobody would figure it out? Would you not put your boys out on the field to make sure that never the twain shall meet? And this is what Here's the third one. And the literature says, the Doppler radar literature says, do not point the beam in a direction for too long. Here it goes right into that third one. Do not point the beam in a direction for too long. It'll have environmental effects.
Like what?
Well, they don't talk about that, but what are we seeing in that last one? You could really make out the beam.
I mean, environmental effects like fires and huge damage or anything.
They don't say fires, but I'm thinking like it could like rain, like intensification
and so forth.
The floods, like here it goes. It's coming right into
it's
it.
It's coming right towards that black dot. Yes. Yes.
Well, and I'm like, really? Oh my God. Okay. So I just predicted.
So wait a minute. So let's backtrack a little. Cause you said something cause we've got a little bit of running out of time here, but, who actually controls Doppler? Is it NOAA?
It's a military network. Now I covered this in one of my episodes. I can find it and share it with you again. I'm not one for memory things unless I really commit it to memory and it stays fresh when it's fresh. But after a few years, I need to go over my notes. So that's a matter of, you can just Google that and I can share that, who runs the weather network. But who is it who actually has their finger on the beam deciding where is that AI at this point? And then we have years of this. Look, here's another one, right? Here's another one. This goes right into it. And it just go, and then another, and then another, and then it goes backwards and it makes a 45 degree turn. You add the pulses, right? You add these blooms to see where it's allowing. See, it's kind of weak right here because it's letting it in. It's letting it in. Over there, it's a stronger bloom. But sometimes you have like giant walls. So I would have to put the sound on here, but I'm talking, so I'm leaving the sound off. I will re-upload this video. I need to re-upload this video. I don't have it up right now, but which condenses some of the stuff. And I do want to make a collage of all the years of all the storm, one after the other, with few interruptions of just the Doppler going, the hurricanes going into the Doppler, one after the other, 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 after the other. And let's see here. Just, I know we're running out of time.
Yeah.
When I was a girl, I was
cloudy.
Obsessed with the science of weather. Other girls wanted a Barbie. I wanted a Doppler Weather Radar 2000 Turbo.
Oh, see, they were even indoctrinating
And food. When you shot it up into the stratosphere, you figured it would induce a molecular phase change of the vapor from the cumulonimbus layer.
That's actually a really smart observation.
I mean, the clouds probably have water in them. Which, I guess is why you shot it up there in the first place.
The machine uses a principle of hydrogenetic mutation. Water molecules are bombarded with microwave radiation, which mutates their genetic recipe into any kind of food you want. The machine uses a principle of hydrogenetic mutation. Water molecules are bombarded with microwave radiation, which mutates their genetic recipe into any kind of food you want.
There you go.
And there you have it, folks.
They told us right up front exactly what they're doing, right?
Check this one out.
There's a storm. It's going in towards
right for an X-rad unless another one goes, and then it goes right for that one.
That there was a beam.
The formula is getting really predictable. How do they know? Oh, so this is going to be the next area.
Anyway, so I mean, you know, you can get boring and predictable with this, but it's really fascinating because it's driving the entire world, isn't it?
Wow. Yes, it is. As my old journalism professor, you know, said, weather is the key. So, but at the time, I don't know if he knew how they could manipulate it, but he knew that, you know, if you had bad weather, you know, the soldiers stopped fighting or took a break or a little bit, you know, and made things more difficult. And
well, you know, they use meteorology to know when to do the D-Day attack because they had just a very small window to get these boys on the beach without very horrible weather. So it's absolutely essential. There's why would they do it? I don't know. Why do boys take a magnifying glass and burn ants up, right? Because they can,
right? You know, it's like too much water and you've got flooding and not enough, you've got drought. And right. Each one affects not only all that where people live, but their food supply, their everything else. So it is a spiral. The weather is key. So, you know, I really thank you for all this time, Raphael, sharing this information. If you have any last, you know, words of wisdom, you know, about the Maui fire, anything, please do so. I think this has given our audience or those, you know, at least in the Maui community investigation, a lot to think about because we are just one to gather information. We're trying not to make assumptions about everything,
right?
You know, and although we have our own personal biases, you know, we try not to let that interfere with it because, you know,
well, if it's going to be an investigation, all things need to be on the table because when you rule out the, impossible or whatever, the improbable is what's left here. But if you're going to put everything on the table, you do need to order the products for both of those, taking into consideration some of the things that I've shown you today. And if you need any help in interpreting any more of that, I would love to be of service. But, you know, it was probably more than one thing that came into play as there was people sending people around in circles. There was water cut off. So obviously if it reads like, you know, I wrote a poem after Katrina, not knowing anything. I didn't even know about cloud seeding. You know, I didn't know about you know, weather modification. And it's just a little haiku, or it wasn't even a haiku. I said, gone are the days I could listen to the rain outside of my window pane and not think that it is an enemy trying to wash us away. Gone. If it feels like it, if it feels like he's disrespecting you, then he is, even if you don't have the evidence. So keep looking and just go with let your intuition guide you into the facts, even if you don't have them all right away, but you've just gotten some more information. And that's why I reached out to you, Dr. Kathy, because I thought that this would be a relevant piece of information from what I've seen with the wind waves. And you had these winds that came out of the blue, and looking at the path of the storm, it didn't make sense why Lahaina would get the worst of it compared to the other parts of Hawaii.
Yeah.
It did not make sense that way.
There was a lot of things that didn't make sense. And, you know, it's, I say this is the age of discernment. You have to really look close and sift the wheat from the chaff, because if it doesn't look right, then don't take it on, you know, it's sort of like that small little hole in the Pentagon that a plane was supposed to go through. You know, right. It's like, wait a minute there, you know, or the building that came down that wasn't attacked, you know. So, you know, we can't just kind of dismiss it. We do have to look further and see, you know, what other components were at play. And, you know, I think this weather thing was a huge commitment. And if it's been done to Maui, it'll be done. It's already been done to other places, and it'll continue to be done. And, you know, and continue on is if they found that it was successful and it causes plausible deniability, you know, it will be always used again. But you're right. You know, you have to,
as somebody who's been through Katrina and who saw the absolute deliberate neglect that makes no sense when we can send aid across the world in a matter of hours, but we didn't know that we had had friends on the roof for a week and the people were dying in nursing homes while help was being turned away.
Yes.
Our neighbors from Atlanta and Mississippi and Texas were coming to help us and they were not allowed to. The intention speaks for itself. Look at the actions. Don't listen to the words and the narrative.
Exactly. So stay on when I end this call. But I will, we'll get links from Raphael. And this again, it was Raphael O'Neill at NOLO Butterfly 2 as well. And to find out more about her research and how she tracks things in real time. Too bad you didn't have the heads up. You could track everything in real time, but I know you do try to get the raw data during that time of what's happening and then analyze it from there. So, and then we'll, if anybody, wants to contact you, they can contact you. You have a website as well. So,
I have not been able to develop it, but I do have a website. It's not developed, but, right now the YouTube, you can send me a message on, Raphael Reports at Gmail. And, if they know how to get in touch with you, let them ring my bell. Cause sometimes the emails pass through the sieves of
my business.
And
that's Raphael. That's Raphaelle. Yes. reports@gmail.com.
Okay. Yes. And I'm Nola Butterfly on Facebook.
Okay.
And across
right. And mahalo. And hopefully, thank you so much again for sharing your knowledge with us. Okay.
For caring and listening.